The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of all nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 25. And when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went through all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, of healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Assyria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I love action and adventure movies, especially when there's very much of a underdog storyline, whether it's a person or maybe a group of people that are faced with some sort of evil force or forces. So I love the Lord of the Ring movies, which I just found out there was, I think they re-released it yesterday, Friday, and the next two Fridays they'll release the other movies that Peter Jackson did so well in putting together. Of course, these are all based off of J.R. Tolkien's books, The Lord of the Rings. But despite their the brightest wizard and the most powerful warriors or the most agile elf, it's the simple, humble, and lowest group of hobbits that save Middle-earth. We learned last week that Jesus, Andrew, and Peter already spent some time together, and John is now in prison. Jesus heads out and starts picking out some of John's disciples, the ones that spent a day with him back in John 1. Of course, this reverses the idea of what we heard last week of what are you seeking? Now Jesus is deliberately seeking them out and calling him to be his disciples. Jesus knows them and Jesus is seeking them. Jesus is not just wandering around the shores of Galilee, stumbling on random fishermen. He has these guys in mind. He has already spent time with them and he has not forgotten them. He is looking for them. Of course, this text and last week's text is a very much of a plot of an action movie, if you think about it. There's this odd guy proclaiming that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Now he's in prison. Soon he'll be beheaded. Fishermen are chosen for a task that others have been studying to become. And like these simple-minded hobbits in The Lord of the Rings, Jesus comes to these four fishermen and invites them to follow him as they will fish for men. These men, along with eight others and more who would follow Jesus, would experience something also out of an action movie. They'd see dead raised to life. They would see people who had incurable diseases healed. They'd see a storm calmed by just mere words from Jesus. Of course, there's a lot of other things he did as well. There are a couple verses, though, that caught my attention even as a kid that I always wondered about. And how did the disciples just immediately leave their nets, their family business, and follow Jesus? If it were me and I was still living at home, I think my parents would be a little upset. They'd probably say, hey, get back here. Get back to work. What are you doing? But Peter, Andrew, James, and John, the families that heard Jesus speaking, in fact, two of these were John's disciples, they had heard him say the same words that John the Baptist said last week, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's also some scholars that have speculated that during this time in Jewish culture, that to be a student of a rabbi was a high honor. So when your son didn't become a even if your son didn't become a rabbi later. Now, I've heard that these four might have been passed over by other rabbis. However, Jesus came to them. These four fishermen were not just trained in any school of ministry, at least not that we're aware of, for they had the Son of God as their instructor. While the disciples didn't have to learn Greek or Hebrew, because they probably already spoke it, they didn't have to take the other classes of hermeneutical and exegetical. They didn't have to start by taking systematics 1, 2, and 3, although I actually enjoyed those classes. They obviously had their Son of God as the professor. While I earned a degree and have a salary and a roof over my head, these disciples, along with the others, at the end of their time with Jesus, well, they did nothing. However, when Jesus ascended into heaven, as promised, the Holy Spirit came and empowered them to share the gospel with others. And then it was a happy ending. Well, not really. This action-adventure story of the disciples Well, it ends in tragedy for most of these people, for most of them are martyred for their faith. Not the kind of ending you would expect. But we're also called to the same adventure as the disciples. Hopefully none of you will lose your lives for faith in Jesus. But these four disciples, and we too, are called to be fishers of men. And you never know where the adventure might lead. If you had met me as a young adult back in college when I was in my 20s, you would not have picked me to be the guy to work at LAMP as a missionary. I'm an introvert. I often hesitate at speaking in front of large groups of people. But if you go back to February of 2019, you'd find me in a large gym with about 1,000 First Nation people. I was one of maybe a few people that were non-First Nations. The other people were the referees and the local politicians that gathered for the all-native basketball tournament in Prince Rupert. But not once did I feel out of place. In fact, I was able to connect with people I knew and, well, made some new friends as well. But this adventure with LAMP is where God has been leading me, and he's shown his power of work in a young man's life when we were able to baptize him a few years ago. In other communities, we've been invited to share about God's love for other people. And because of my connection with my Getsanamach language teacher, other communities' members have begun to support the work I do with LAMP. But I've also seen the brokenness and effects of sin in other people's lives. I've watched two young adult sisters, who were both mothers, who attended our VBS years ago in Gitnow. Both died from the effects of drugs and alcohol, leaving behind a young family. I watched another young man and his girlfriend, again, both attended our VBS, as he drinks too much and beats up on his girlfriend, and they just had a daughter. But every time I meet with the community contacts that we have in our communities, they're always very supportive, and they always ask, "When are you coming back?" This adventure with Jesus also, as you know, led to my ordination just a few months ago. Again, something I would have laughed at in my 20s. Me? Becoming a pastor? Right. However, there is struggle in this, as we learn from the disciples, that they face, because there is fear in this adventure. There's a moment when Samwise and Frodo are just starting out. They're in a field, and Sam stops at the edge of it. And Frodo asks, "What is wrong?" Sam replies, "If I take one more step, it'll be the furthest away from home I've ever been." While the disciples, despite having learned from Jesus, watching him die and rise from the dead, six of them go back to fishing, including James and John. They return to what is comfortable. And so, Jesus comes to Peter and says, "Feed my sheep." Then Jesus ascends into heaven. Instead of sharing with others what had happened, the disciples stayed together at Pentecost, none of them taking another step. How often are you and I uncertain about what God is doing, what he's calling for us to do next? There is fear, especially these days, in sharing the good news about Jesus. And if it's not fear, then there's great uncertainty that we're capable. We begin to question our faith. We're afraid to leave our nets and follow Jesus. We start to ask other questions. How will I pay my mortgage? How will I make my car payments? How will I explain this to my family and friends and coworkers if I really engage in some radical life of serving, which he calls me? And how will I explain this to myself? While Jesus is not always calling us to leave all this behind, the emphasis is on where we put our hope and our trust. When we are taken somewhere we've never been, will I be okay? will be easy? And I do struggle with this. There are moments I wonder, what am I doing? Am I making the difference in the lives of First Nation people? Is there someone better qualified than me? Or when should I have maybe said something to somebody? Instead, I just walk away. Or maybe offering to pray for them instead of really actually praying right there for them. Then I remember, it's not about me. Well, I'm good at saying things wrong. I do that a lot. When it comes to speaking the gospel, it's in those moments that the Holy Spirit is present. We have the words to say, and we have the confidence to tell them. For the good news empowers us, and what Christ did on the cross gives us the confidence that we need to speak the truth and love to others. And praise be to Christ, he is patient with us. The expectation is not that we have some epiphany moment, but like the disciples who were introduced to Jesus, who spent a day with him, who knew his voice already, we might find ourselves busy about the good things of life, tending our nets, scrubbing the barnacles off the boats, when a voice summons us to a new and different walk with Jesus. This is about a lifetime of relationship. He's looking for us too, and folks like you and me here. He has spent time with us in Sunday school, vacation Bible school, and events of our childhood. He got to know us. He has not forgotten and is seeking people, even if they're lukewarm, not showing up, absentmindedly tending to their daily business of fishing. Perhaps today is a preparing day. Perhaps today is a calling day. In any event, it's a day when God and Jesus works towards your fullest participation in his kingdom as a joyful, willing member of his mission team. Speaking of mission teams, several years ago, there's a family that went on our mission trip to Gitnow. Bringing families on mission trips is a great opportunity for First Nations to see a functioning family and the dynamics, as many of the First Nations lack parenting skills. So the youngest of three came along. For the first couple of years, he really struggled with the long trip, being away from home. He also got really annoying to everyone. But just as Jesus chose these four fishermen, he chose Ryan Canaparoli to be his disciple. For many years after that, Ryan attended the mission trip, even through college. Kids love Ryan, and they miss him. Then after 15 years or so, moving back from Georgia, his parents, Mark and Heidi, attended last year's mission trip. They're able to see the fruits of God's labor as he worked through the mission team all those years, teaching about Jesus and sharing his love with the people there. While there are blessings to serve people in Gitnow, there are always and will be hardships and challenges. There are several moments throughout the Lord of the Ring movies where the hero is stuck or trapped. They're hanging on to life. And with one last breath, just right when you think there's no more hope, a person appears or some magical force helps them to overcome that obstacle. It's in those moments that we're reminded of what Christ has done for us. For as Paul wrote, "Therefore I'll boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This power is what we receive by his word and the Holy Spirit. We see the same Holy Spirit come down at Pentecost, which empowered the disciples to speak in other languages, so those that were gathered from other countries could hear the gospel message. That same Holy Spirit is with us the moment we're baptized in faith. While the Holy Spirit might not give us the ability to speak in another language, the Holy Spirit enables us to share the gospel with others. While good works and actions are important, we also read this in Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And as we've heard today in the gospel, may others hear the gospel through us. We've all been called on this awesome adventure, just as the disciples were. The mission, the healing, the love of God has within it the ability to overwhelm every negative thing that you or I can say or see. While some have been sent off to faraway places, the word of God goes to every place on the earth. The word is here today, in the places we work, play, where we go, so is his word as we go fishing for people. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.